Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. On this blessed Tuesday, this is Brother Nate with the Church Christ Alive, the message on a broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, we'll pray with you. Have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. If you have any comments, ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the blessed word of God today. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do in our lives. So Father, in Jesus' name, I pray this day that you will bless us with the presence of your spirit. And Lord, help me to give your word tonight to your people. Help me to give it in a way that is pleasing unto you. So, Lord, I invite your spirit to be with us as we go into this study. Father, I thank you for what you're doing this day. And by the power of your spirit, you're carrying your word to the hearts of your people. So, Lord God, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on another new series. It's a three-part series where I will be coming from the three books, the Bible, the Record of Nephi, and the Word of the Lord. And I'm going to start part one today from the Word of the Lord, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus has been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah, as he had told us that he would in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4, Acts chapter 3 verses 19 to 22, Deuteronomy 18 and 18, Jesus promised to send his angel messenger. And I'm starting from this Word of the Lord book, which is a book of the messages that the Lord been sending through his angel messenger thus far, from February 1927 to April 1994, approximately 120 times thus far. And I say thus far because it's not over with. And if any of you want a copy of these messages, that, hey, that you can see it for yourself and go to the Lord with it for yourself, it is 75 cents per dozen. You can write to Church of Christ Alive the Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. That's the Church of Christ, the Elijah Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Or you call 1-800-752-1507, 1-800-752-1507, or also area code 816-252-2343, 816-252-2343. And the fax number will be area code 816-252-0143. Now, I want to, as I told you guys, I'm going to start from the Word of the Lord, Book of the Lord. Amen. And on August the 21st, 1939, at 11:45 p.m., the Lord sent his angel messenger, the Elijah, with a message to bring to earth for his people, for those who will be of the bride that he's returning for, a word that he has sent to cause the faithful in Christendom to come and flow together to be one, because this is what the bride is going to be made of the faithful. And he sent this message out, and the angel, once again, angels of God come at appointed time of God. They don't come at my appointed time or your appointed time. So they don't need you going to the dollar store or anywhere and buying yourself an appointment book and writing down, say, hey, I'm going to say the angel come this day, I'm going to set an appointment, because you might well forget it and you're wasting money. They come at appointed time of the Lord. Rest assured, if you are visited by an angel of the Lord, rest assured that the Lord sent him. Amen. And so in this, what is called 44th message, the 44th time that the Lord sent this angel messenger, this message containing 21 verses, I want to read one of them, which goes to with our lesson today. Amen. The title, once again, or I'm going to speak the title now. I had spoke the title. But the title of this message is Midnight Cry, Have Faith in God. Midnight Cry, Have Faith in God. And the reason why the title is Midnight Cry is because that this is the time that the Lord is sending his angel messenger in this last hour before Christ returns. The angel of the Lord who is crying out the words of the Lord, as he did in Matthew chapter 25. Remember the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. All of them slept and slumbered, excuse me. And the Bible said at midnight there was a cry made. Well, who made the cry? Because it wasn't the virgin. Now, remember, the virgins represent the whole Christian world, okay? So it wasn't the wise, it wasn't the foolish, because they all slept in slumber. So who made the cry? Well, it had to be a heavenly being. And therefore, it's the angel of the Lord crying out the words of the Lord in this last hour. Hallelujah. Since the Spirit of the living God. And so I want to read from one of these verses, which would be the third verse, on what the Lord authorized this angel to say. Amen. And I pray that you pay close attention. And once again, for those of you that don't have the word of the Lord, I'm giving you this so you can go and ask Jesus about it. Amen. You know, that Jesus, in fact, Jesus wants you to ask him about it. This is why those of us who have received this work and the word of the Lord, God told us to tell the people and let them choose. Let them come to him. Okay. This is what he says. He says, take the message from house to house. Many are honest of heart and will be glad to heed it. Take to them the gospel of love. Preach repentance and faith in God. For all must have faith in God and his work, as greater things shall come to pass. Only the pure in heart and the humble in spirit shall be able to stand and labor in this work. Now, hallelujah. In this verse here, we're told to preach repentance and faith in God. And then he goes on to say, for all must have faith in God. Okay? Amen. Now, we are told to who to have faith in, which is God. But what exactly are we to believe in about him? Now, I'm just pause for a second so that can sink in. See, we're told to have faith in God. But what exactly are we to believe in about him? Amen. Hallelujah. And understand this. Now, remember this too, that when the Lord says have faith in him, he's talking about the God kind of faith. Amen. Now, you know, generally in this world today exists the two types of faith. There's the God kind of faith, and then there's what is called natural faith. Now, the God kind of faith is the faith that those who are born-again believers are supposed to be operating in. Okay? Sinners only know natural faith. Okay? They only know that faith says that I won't believe it till I see it or feel it or think it first or until it becomes logical reason. That's natural faith. God kind of faith said, I believe it because God said it. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to see it. I don't have to think it. It don't have to be made reason to me of logic. None of that. If God said it, I believe. Amen? So we're told to preach repentance and faith in God. We're told that all must have faith in God. So once again, we're told who to believe in, but what exactly are we to believe in about him? Now, one of the things I did as I was looking at this word here, amen, I looked up the word in. Now, I want to turn to Webster Dictionary because I want to read to you a definition of the word in to go with this lesson today, okay? And going to Webster and looking up the word in, hallelujah. And I noticed that in Webster, the word in is listed at least five times, okay? It's listed as a adverb. It's listed as an adjective. And so in reading these definitions, one of the things that stood out is where that one of the definitions of the word in means that is in position, operation, or power. For example, when they say the in part. So that which is in position, operation, or power. So when he said have faith in God, he wants us to have faith. Now listen to this closely, to believe in his position, his power, and operation. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The God kind of faith now has to be exercised in God concerning these areas, his position, his power, and his operating. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the Lord also said in this verse that I read through the angel messenger, he said, for all must have faith in God. In other words, all must have faith in his position, in his power, and in his operation. Okay, you got to have it. You got to have it. And notice he said that all must. Must is a word which express what? Necessity. Okay? Hallelujah. For he said, for all must have faith in God and his work as greater things shall come to pass. Okay? Now, so, hallelujah. God said there are greater things that's going to come to pass. You may have been and went through something or gone through something, but God said now there's going to be something greater that you're going to go through or face. And God said you're going to have faith in him in order to stand, in order to come through this. You're going to have faith in his position, in his power, and in his operation to come through the greater things that is about to come to pass before your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you don't have faith, now understand this. He said all must have faith in God and his work. Now, overall, whether you are in the Church of Christ, the Lies of Message, and you have received this work of the Lord of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the work of restitution or restoration, or if you are in Christ, even if you're not in the Church of Christ, the Lies of Message, but you are preaching the gospel according to what God has revealed to you in the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Bible, basically, you need to hear this. If you don't have faith in his work, because if you are preaching Christ now, even if you're not in Church Christ, the Lies of Message, but you are born again and you're preaching Christ and you've given the gospel, if you don't have faith in his position, his power, and his operation, you would not be able to fully do this work for him. You won't be able to do it. Because, see, once again, he said there's going to be some greater things that's going to come to pass. You won't be able to do it, okay? If you are in the Church of Christ, the Lies of Message, who have received a word of restoration and restitution from Christ, this work that is part of the gospel, to bring about a people, to bring things back to the way Christ once had it set up, once again, if you don't believe in the position and the power and the operating of God, you cannot do this work. Hallelujah. Get this, because he said, all must have faith in God and his work, as greater things shall come, not might, shall come to pass. Okay? He said greater things shall come to pass. Amen. Because of these things that's going to come to pass, you're going to be tested. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tested concerning, this is also dealing with necessity. Not just you doing the work for God, but necessity. If you don't believe in God's position and his power and his operation, when these greater things come to pass in your life, and for some of you, it's already happening, you will not be able to receive or get what you need from God. If you don't receive in his position, his power, if you don't believe in his position, his power, and his operations, you're not going to be able to continue. Even if you have started, you're not going to be able to continue. If you get to this point where you stop believing, because, see, greater things is going to come to pass, people. Greater things are going to come to pass. See, you may have came through some particular things, but God wants you to know that there are some greater things that's going to challenge your faith. Some greater things are going to come to pass to see, do you really believe? Okay? And it's going to take a greater faith for you to come through this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, I want to read from another message. And this is all connected to what we're studying here. The Lord sent this message out June the 17th, 1940, 2:30 a.m. Amen. Now I want to read one of the verses in here. Amen. And I want to, glory to God, read to you what he authorized his angel to say in dealing with this here, okay? And then I'm going to give you a definition from Webster on concerning what I'm reading to you now, okay? Now, thank you, Jesus. He says in this 12th verse in this message, which is called the 48th message, okay, the 48th time that the Lord sent his angel messages. And this is what he said. He said, I have chosen ye my servants this day, and my eyes shall be open towards you, okay? And I will hear your prayers before my children. I will hearken in all that you call for unto me. Listen to this last part. He says, I will make known to all the earth that I am God. Hallelujah. And there is none else, say your Lord. Did you hear that? He said, I'm going to make known to all the earth that I am God. And there is none else. Now, one of the definitions of the word God that Wesley gives is the being perfect and power, wisdom, and goodness who is worshiped as creator and ruler of the universe. Almighty God, not no planets, not no stars, not no Big Bang Theory happened and then the earth came, none of that, but in the true and living God. Remember, he said, have faith in God. Have faith in what? His position, his power, and his operation. In his position as God, you got to believe that he is the creator and ruler of the universe. Now remember, he said that all must have faith in his word as greater things shall come to pass. Listen, you think you went through something. There's a greater thing where you're going to be challenging your faith. You may be brought before councils that you've never been brought before to testify to see if there truly really is a God. God is trying to warn us and prepare us. Listen, some believers don't understand really the operation of the God kind of faith. It's when you are being challenged and faced, even being threatened, where you still can believe God. And so God said, have faith in God. Have faith in his position as being God, being the creator and ruler of the universe. He said, have faith. Hallelujah. We must believe that he is the ultimate ruler. Hallelujah. That he is God. And he said, there's none else. See, the Mormons teach, for example, the Mormons teach that anybody that comes through Mormonism can become a God, can reach Godhood. Listen, hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost to speak on this. We got to believe when he said here, I will make known to all the earth that I am God and there is none else. We got to believe him at his word that there is none else. Amen. Hallelujah. And he says, all the earth will know that he is God. Hallelujah. See, this is another reason why we got to watch even what these other religions are teaching, because if we start taking it, and I've talked to you guys on other broadcasts about this, how the spirit of worldliness has crept among the believers. And the world is hollering out love and peace, but their love and peace is not the same as God's love and peace. Their love and peace means accept, tolerate. In other words, whatever God calls sin, whatever he calls iniquity, whatever he calls wickedness, whatever he calls abomination, the world said, this is how you show love. Accept it and tolerate it. And that is not the love of God. And what is happening is some of God's people is becoming indoctrinated by these other religions to a point that it is causing them to waver in the faith. Oh, people, you got to hear me, and please listen to this now, what I'm telling you. Because some of y'all think, Brother Nate, that's obvious. I know that. Listen, God said there's going to be some greater things that's going to come to pass, and your faith is going to be tested. And he said, all must have faith. He said, the only way you're going to come through this thing, through these challenges that are being posed to you, is that you're going, first of all, going to have faith in his position. You're going to have to believe in God being the ruler and the creator of the universe. Look at what's going on in our schools today. Look at what they're teaching our children, trying to indoctrinate them with. Big Bang Theory and Darwin's Theory and all that. Now you got a non-gender and all this stuff. Look at this, people. Christians, we got to wake up. It's time to wake up. And now some of us as Christians, when we're being approached by this, we're starting to do the little stuttering. We sound so nervous, it's pitiful. Because we talking about I don't want to offend nobody. Listen, my job is not to purposely hurt people. But on the other end, if it's offense, being offended because I'm speaking the truth of God, then I'm going to just tell you the truth. You just going to have to be offended. Amen? You got to believe in God as the creator and ruler. He is God, okay? Have faith in God. God said, have faith in me. Have faith in my position. Believe in my position as God. When man come teaching you other stuff and talking about there's other gods, like Hindus teach you that you can become a god, and Hindus teach you there's a whole bunch and millions of gods. No, there is one true God. One true overall ruler. No one rules over him. That's why his name is capitalized, his title is capitalized, capital G and not a little g, like Satan, where the Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of this world system, but he's a little g. He rules over certain things, but God is the ultimate ruler, which means that nobody rules over God. And I'm telling you, people, some of y'all are taking this lightly. You think it ain't nothing to it. I'm telling you better hear it, because you finna be approached with greater things and a greater challenge of your faith, and you're going to have people coming to you saying, do you really believe that there's a supreme being, a creator of the universe, that these Christians talk about God? Do you believe? And listen, if you ain't in the faith, your knees going to be knocking so hard together that what's going to come out your mouth ain't going to be good. Now, Brother Nate got to be straight and honest with you on that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, the next thing I want to say to this too as well, listen to this. When the Antichrist arises, many will see why this will play a certain role. You said, what do you mean, Brother Nate? Well, when God said, have faith in God, have faith in his position as being God. Because when you read the Bible, when you read in the book of Thessalonians, where Paul said that this man of sin is going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, putting himself above all that is worship. And then John the Revelator tells us in Revelation about the beast, the Antichrist, when the people are going to say, who is able to make war like him? Who is like him? They're going to be praising this man. They're going to be praising this Satan-possessed person, okay? You understand what I'm saying? And who do you think they're going to especially come at? The Christian. Because they're going to want the Christian to worship that Antichrist and to claim that he is God. And listen, let me tell you something. If you're not in the faith, you're going to give up, people. Hallelujah. You know, the early church went through that persecution. Some of them was thrown in the dens and places with animals and was killed. Some of them was put on the torture rack. But you know what that evil church wanted them to do? They wanted them to renounce Christ. Some of them was brought into the middle of the village, tied to a pole that these things around them, they call faggots, where you can light them and they light up fast. They was putting them up there to burn at the stake, and they wanted them to deny Christ, okay? They wanted the true Christian to deny. Now, there were some in the history recorded, there were some that did deny and didn't have peace after that. I'm telling you, people, this thing is serious. When God said have faith in God, first of all, he's talking about the God kind of faith. And he wants you to believe in his position as the ruler and creator of the universe. So when these greater things come and challenge you and come to test you, that you will not waver. Amen. Some of this stuff that's going on, even in our nation here in America, is happening before many Christian eyes. But what's going on? They're asleep. They are in a spiritual sleep. You got some of them trying to run after money, trying to run after material things. Their whole life is given to that, and no spending no time with God. So therefore, they are in a spiritual sleep. And these things is coming up before their eyes, right up in front of them, even though they may be looking at it with their natural eyes,
still spiritually blind and spiritually asleep. The Lord is sending a warning. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in my position as creator and ruler of the universe. That no one is greater. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the time when the government is going to try to play God? When they tell you, say, hey, you can't teach that about God no more, being the creator, hallelujah, and the ruler of the universe. How are you going to have to teach what we're putting out right now? Are you ready? Remember in the book of Acts, who that Peter and John, who was taken and thrown in prison, was beaten because why? They was preaching on Christ. They wasn't being thieves and stealing for folks. They wasn't beating up folks. They wasn't scamming folks, but they was preaching Christ. And remember when they was beaten in the prison and released, what did the people, what did they tell them? They said, you can't preach and teach no more in that name. Now, some of you guys are oblivious to that, especially here in America. You thinking that America is so this and that, that this can't happen over here. Well, oh my God, I pray that your eyes will be open. I pray that God will open your eyes right now to this truth. That America is heading to this state. People, you got to look and see what's happening. They ain't passing these off-the-wall laws for nothing. They're in the, they're, whether you believe it or not, many are going to the Supreme Court trying to come up with war laws. Who is the number one people? Who is the number one person that they're fighting against? Almighty God and his laws that come from the word of God. And they're especially going to be fighting against his people who are calling themselves Christians. You understand that? That's what's going to be happening. And God said, you're going to have faith in my position as being creator and ruler of the universe. And that no one rules over me. Because you're going to be challenged in that area. You ain't going to be able to do, God said, you ain't going to be able to do his work properly unless you be in that faith. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you might say, well, Brother Nate, I'm already in that faith. I hear what you're saying, but I'm already been there. I tell you what, it's always room to grow. It's always room to progress. You got to seek to get more and more in Christ. Don't never be comfortable at that one level. Because you think because you have faced the trial you came through, you think that all it is to it. No. God said the greater things is going to transpire. There's going to be some greater things that's going to come before you that more or less you ain't seen before, okay? So my advice to you is not to get comfortable, but keep on striving to get closer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now I want to read another message. Amen. And this message was sent out June 11th, 1943, 4:15 a.m. This is referred to as Message 61, 61st time that the Lord sent his angel messenger, the Elijah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is what, and I want you to give a definition to a word here. But I want to read to you what Jesus authorized his angel to tell the people. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what he says, and this is verse 2 in the 61st message. He said, I have come again when the cries of the people have come up before the Lord your God. Now listen to this last few words here. He said, this is what the angel says about God. He said, he is all powerful and will bless the faithful. He is all powerful and will bless the faithful. Hallelujah. All powerful. Now remember, he said, have faith in God. Have faith in his what? Have faith in his position. As being God, have faith in his power. Amen. His have faith in his position, have faith in his power, and have faith in his operation. So now we're looking at have faith in his power, God's ability to do. Now notice something he said. He said he is all powerful. He didn't just say God is powerful. He is all powerful, okay? Now, one of the definitions of the word all from Webster is completely taken up with, full power. He's completely taken up with power. Ain't no weakness around there, people. See, Satan has power, but Satan has a weakness. He had weaknesses. He's not all powerful, okay? He has some power, but he's not all powerful. God is the only one that can rightfully have the title or description of being all powerful. You know it says in the Bible that there's nothing too hard for our God to do. Amen? You got to believe that. You got to believe that he's all powerful, even though circumstances may look contrary to what you believe in. Even though they may come up with this and that and say, you can't get this and you can't get that, you got to believe that God is all powerful. You got to have faith in his power. The angel messenger says here that God is all powerful, not just powerful, but all powerful. He is completely taken up with power. There is no weakness. There's no part of him that doesn't have no power. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory, I sense the Holy Ghost. He is powerful in any circumstance in your life. He can do. Amen? He can do. Once again, going back to what we started with, he said, have faith in God. Have faith in his position. Have faith in his power. Believe what the word says, that he is all powerful. Hallelujah. Once again, greater things is going to come your way to challenge your faith in that area. And if you give up and say, oh, you know, you start down, I don't know if God be able to do it. I just don't know if he, listen, anything that the word of God covers that God says is his will and he's okay with, he can do something. He can do something, people. He can do something. See, you find sometimes you got Christians, some Christians that want to be lazy. Let's get straight to the bat. Let's go straight to this. They want to be lazy. They don't want to look up nothing about what the words say about their situation. And so they think they just can pray any kind of way, and God just puts a swoop down like underdog and answer. That ain't how it works, people. See, God honors his word. And if you're praying something contrary to his word, and you expecting him to answer that, well, you will be expecting forever, and you won't get that answer. He's a keeper of his word. This is why God said in Isaiah, through Isaiah, my word shall not return unto me void. Because he honors his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of us have let people tell us and things that we need, what we can't get, why we can't get it. I'm talking about a need. I ain't talking about a greed now. I ain't talking about a greed. I'm talking about a need. Okay? Because see, some among the Christian community is now in a spirit of greed and not a need. They call it a need, but it's really a greed. They got a greedy spirit, okay? No content with what they have. They got a greedy spirit, and then what they do, they think they're fooling God, and they stamp on their, Lord, we need this. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because see, some Christians haven't learned how to decipher between a need and a want. And some up there running out there getting wants. Their needs are going unfulfilled and they're suffering because they put their wants ahead of their needs. Needs have to come first, people. Now, God will bless you sometimes with things, something that you want. But the need has to be the thing that's put first. And this is one of the things that have destroyed many families, many marriages. Because you have some that didn't decipher the difference between the need and the want. And they started riding on the want so much that the needs was unfulfilled and they went down. They went down, people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you in need of a healing right now? So, some of you, let's be straight with this. This is no joking. Let's be straight. Some of you have said, I really like to do a work for the Lord, but man, this sickness got me down and I just can't do it. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in the power of God to heal? Now, first of all, you jump up and say, well, Brother Nate, that's obvious. You know I believe. Oh, wait a minute. Stop for a second. Be real with yourself, okay? Do you really believe? Because remember, the Word of God shows us how to release our faith by confession and by doing what the Word said. You don't confess and do based on your feeling. You don't confess or do based on what you think. You confess and do based on the Word of God. So that goes back to my question. Do you believe that God can heal? Do you believe that he has the power to heal? Don't just tell me about what Brother Nate, yes, I do. Let's be real. You think about it to yourself. Is your sickness still there because you really not believing like you say? Let's be real. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, our sister Holy Ghost. Thank you. You know, I shared with you guys a long time ago, my testimony about when I used to have migraine headaches. And after so many years, the Lord showed me that I had became addicted to ibuprofen. And you know what? It escaped me because I didn't even think about being addicted. But see, when I was 13 years old, that's when migraine headaches first started hitting me and my blood pressure was going up the stroke zone, okay? So I was put in the hospital for a week. They did tests. They said, we can't figure out why it's making your blood pressure go up. You're going to have to be on blood pressure pill for the rest of your life. Okay. So 5 years after that, when I started coming to the church, I came to the church. It was the first place I really heard real preaching on healing. Okay. How if you just have faith and believe God, God can heal. Okay. So here's the thing on that, people. I came to the Lord, but I found out that I wasn't really completely believing in him healing me. Yes, I ended up getting off the blood pressure pills, which he blessed me there. I didn't have to fool with that because my blood pressure wasn't going up and down no more or going up, rising up. But I still was having a migraine headache. And so what happened was, you know, when the doctors tell you, say, well, you want to prevent a migraine headache, you want to drink a Coca-Cola or anything that when you first start feeling, you attack it then. And so when the doctors told me that, I took it to heart. Now, this is as being a Christian now. I took it to heart. So either I was drinking a Coca-Cola because, you know, you could drink a caffeine and taking what that other powder, BC powders used to help. But what happened was over the course of time, I came across ibuprofen. And I started taking ibuprofen and, quote, it was helping, per se. And what it was, the bottle on the ibuprofen would say, take no more than 6 in 24 hours. So you know what? Brother Nate had it down to a T. Took 2 at 7 in the morning, 2 at 12, and the last 2 at the evening of the night, close to night. And I did it like clockwork. Why did I do it? To keep a migraine away. Now, wait a minute. I should have been confessing and walking in the Lord concerning my healing. No, I came attached to the medicine. Now, some of y'all listen to me say, well, Brother Nate, you preach against medicine? No, I'm not preaching against medicine. There's been some help with medicine in many areas, but a time is going to come, people, that you're going to have to make a decision. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. See, I was taking it like clockwork, and then it got so bad. Now, I'm going to show you how bad it got where you get too addicted. As I told you guys, I was taking it like clockwork, 7:12 in the evening. That's my six for the whole day. If I missed one of those appointed times, I got nervous. Now, notice I didn't tell y'all, say if I missed the appointed time, my head started hurting. No, my head wouldn't hurt. I got nervous. What do you get nervous for? Because, once again, I became addicted to that. And see, that's blocking off my overall healing. That's blocking off for me receiving my healing. So God began to deal with me, and God told me, said, one day he said, I'm not against my people taking medicine. He said, I'm just against when my people, when their medicine become their God. And I said, Lord, what are you talking about? Come on, yo, God. What is that? And he said, that medicine that you're taking has become like your God, your idol. You become what? Dependent on it to keep you, to keep the migraines away and not on my power. People, when he opened my eyes on that, I said, oh, my God. And he began to show me that remember how you acted when you missed an appointment time or taking that? You got all panicky. You was addicted. I said, oh, my God. I said, you're right, Lord. I had to repent. And thank God to this day, I have not had to take no ibuprofen pills, no migraine headaches. My migraine headaches are gone. Thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, people. So I ask you, do you believe? Do you believe that God can heal you? Some of you are saying, well, you know, I would like to do a work for the Lord and go out and work, but I just don't have no money. Do you believe God can bless you with money to go out on the missionary work, go out on the fields, do the work of the Lord? Confess it, people, in faith, and do what God said to do to be blessed financially in that. What? Tithes and offerings? He even says sow a seed. People, I can testify to you about that. See, listen. To release our faith, we got to confess and we have to do, people. That's what God said we got to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now I want to read one more message here, one more verse here. This message was sent out August the 20th, 1947. Now, I talked to you about how the Lord said he wants you to have faith in him, faith in his position, faith in his power, because he said he's all power, all powerful. Do you believe in him being all powerful? Do you believe in him being God, the creator and ruler of the universe? Do you believe? Okay. He said, you're going to have to. He said, I almost have faith in God in this word. You're going to have to survive in this last days. Because greater things are going to come your way. It's going to happen. Some of you are already encountering it. He sent this message out at 11:42 p.m. I'm going to read the fourth verse, and this is what he said. This is the third thing. Remember, have faith in his position, in his power. And next now in his operation, he said, let the sure way of the Lord be your way, for I bring peace and a way of deliverance. Now listen to this. He said, I speak the Lord's words, for his ways are just. His ways are what? Righteous, upright, fair. Do you believe God's ways are righteous? That when God tell you to do something, will you question him to a point like he's wrong? Hallelujah. You know, give you an example. I had a family member the first time me and my dad, when he was living, my earthly father, when he was living, we went to visit him. And I met this cousin for the first time. I met my dad's brother, one of my dad's brother for the first time. And I didn't know that side of the family there, especially my dad's brother and my cousin, which was my dad's brother's son, that they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And so we're in his kitchen one day, that's the cousin's kitchen, and we got to talking, and all of a sudden, I started to notice the way the conversation was going. And so he made a remark. He was talking about Martin Luther King in one sense, but he repeated something that Martin Luther King said, which was scripture. When the Lord said, pray for them that despitefully use you. And he said, why should I pray for them that despitefully use me? First of all, he ain't born again. But see, that's my question to you. Can you believe in God's operation? His ways are just. When God tell you to do something, even though your mind said, wait a minute, Lord, I don't see what to do that for. What, you know, when someone cuts you out and God said, I want you to go buy him a present. What? Or you got situations going on in your life and God is telling you how to handle it, how to do. Do you have faith in his ways, that his ways are fair, righteous, and just, that is true, that it works? Do you have faith in his operation? Okay. Sometimes we fight God on particular things because we're trying to make it logical. And we're trying to think with our mind, say, well, that don't make no sense to do that. Listen, if it's the Lord talking and he's instructing you how to do some things a certain way, do you believe in his operating, the way he go about doing things, the way he's directing you to do it? Listen, some of y'all been praying, talking about, Lord, show me how to do it. Do it like you think I should do it. And then when you start doing it, you complain. What are you doing that for? Okay. Either you believe they in the way God operate is right and true, or you don't. And God said, have faith in God. Have faith in his position, his power, and his operating. Believe that his ways are just. So when he's trying to get you to walk in his way, do you believe? Do you have faith in his way, that his way will make you successful or prosperous? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, you bless us again on this day, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to do this broadcast today, and I pray that everyone that's listening will bless. So, Father, we just thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise and magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Lord, say the same. I'll be back with part two tomorrow. It's either going to be from the Record of Nephi or the Bible. Amen. So, glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ, Elijah Message, on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.